Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Gimel. Afilu nochash koruch al akevo lo yafsik. We learned in our Mishnah that as far as one who is davening the Shmona Esrei, if a snake is wound around his feet, his ankles, he does not stop the Shmona Esrei. The snake in such a form does not pose an imminent danger, hence there is no heter to stop the Shmona Esrei because of sakonas nefoshes, because of a threat to one's life. The topic heading on the side of our Gemara, we have listed the Nosei, Hafsokas Tfila Biglal Chayois, the ability or the right to stop a Shmona Esrei because of animals, creatures. The Gemara, Omar Rav Sheshes, Lo Yishonu Elo Nochosh, the halacha of the Mishnah, of not stopping the Shmona Esrei, that is regard only to a nochosh, a snake. Aval akrov posek. An akrov is often translated as a scorpion. There one does stop. The Rashi describes the akrov as a creature that is, its mere presence is more, we'll call threatening, in that it's ready to sting more than a nochosh is ready to bite. Meisvei, the Gemara raises an objection from the following Tanaic source. Nofal legoiv aroyos, ein meiden olav shemes. If a person had the misfortune in falling into a lion's den, so one cannot testify, unless he were to see the body, but just with the knowledge that he fell into this lion's den, that would not be sufficient evidence that the man is dead, so that we couldn't testify to the fact that he is dead, which would enable his wife to remarry as a widow. And the nofal lechafira maleo nechoshim v'akrovim, if he fell into a hole filled with snakes and scorpions, or snakes or scorpions, me'idin olav shemes, we could testify that he is considered that he is dead. So we see that a snake is like a scorpion in that it will bite and kill. So we said before, though, that by Nechoshim, we don't assume he is dead. And in the sense of the Shmona Esrei, one does not stop for the fact that a Nechosh is present. Here a man fell into a pit of snakes, a snake pit. He is considered as good as dead. The Gemara answers, Shiny Hossam, the case of falling into a snake pit is different. The Agav Itzitsa Mazki. Rashi, on the third line from the top, Agav Itzitsa, Kishenofal Alem V'dochkom Heziku, when he fell upon them and crushed them or pressured them, that forced them to take evasive action, and hence they bit him in their own act of self-defense. That is different than a person who is standing minding his own business and a snake happens to wind itself around his foot. There, the snake does not feel threatened, hence it won't bite. Omer of Yitzchak, Ro'o Shvorim Posek. If a person is davening and he notices oxen, he should stop. D'toni Rav Hoshaya, Marchikin Mishor Tam Chamishim Amo Mishor Muad Kimlo Einov. If a person notices an ox, even if he is a tam, meaning this is an animal that has not gored men, as Rashi says, then he should distance himself 50 amos, even in the case where it hasn't been known to gore anybody. And if it's that you see a shormua, this is an animal, an ox that's gored three times. So you distance yourself as far as the eye can see. Tana mishmei de Rebbe Meir, reish tura v'dikula. If you see an ox whose head is inside its the basket that's hung around its neck, and with feed in it, and it's eating from this basket, so the shore seems pretty calm right now. You, on the other hand, get out of its vicinity. Solik le'igrof v'shodi darga mitusech. Go up to the roof and throw the ladder from underneath you. The Rashi says v'shodi darga lav dafka. It doesn't mean literally throw the ladder away. We don't notice oxen climbing ladders to roofs. Elo klomar hizor mimenu harbe. All that it means to say is be very careful. Omar Shmuel, Hani Mili, Bishor, Shochor, Biyomi Nisan. This extreme care that needs to be taken because of the threat that an ox poses is qualified to a black ox during the spring season. Mineshah Sutton, Merakid, Lo, Bain Karnov, because the Sutton is dancing between its horns. Rashi explains that in a spring season, the fields are filled with grass, with their feed after several months of non-growth because of the winter season, and because it sees these grasses, it has this feeling of renewal to it, and it feels, as Rashi says, zocha daito alav, the animal has this, is high spirited, v'nichnas bo yetzahora, and the evil inclination enters the animal. A very interesting phrase. We generally don't think of animals as having a yetzahara, an evil inclination, but nevertheless, that's what Rashi says. And it's during that time that one has to exercise excessive precaution. The Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Maisid v'mokom echot she'orud. There was an incident in a place where there was a creature called an orud. An orud is a mixed breeding between two creatures, one a nochosh and a tzav. In other words, there's a union between a nochosh and a tzav, creating this thing called an orud. And from the context of the Gemara, this orud seems to be a venomous creature. And the hoyamazik es abrios, this orud was damage, would hurt, injure the population. They informed the very great and pious rabbi, Reb Chanina ben Dosa, of its existence. Omar lahem, heru li eschoro. Show me where its hole is. Heruhu eschoro. They showed Reb Chanina where it stayed. Nosan akevo al pi hachor. The Reb Chanina ben Dosa put his heel over the hole. Yotza v'noshchoi. The Orud attempted to exit the hole and bit Rabbi Chanina's heel. Umeis oisoi Orud, and the animal died. Not loy al ksefa vevila beis hamedrash. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa took the animal on his shoulder and brought him to the beis hamedrash. Brought the animal to the beis hamedrash. Omer lahem, Re'u bonai, behold, my sons, ein Orud memes elo hachet memes. It's not accurate to say that the creature is responsible for death. It's sin that's responsible for death. And it's if a person is full, it has sins, so then the creature's bite will result in its death. The creature's bite will result in the person's death if the person is full of sins. At that moment, they exclaimed, "Woe unto a person that is attacked by an orud!" And woe unto the orud that meets up with Rabbi Chanina ben Doisav. The Mishnah. We make mention of rain in the bracha of the second bracha of Shmon Esrei, and this Gevuras Kishomim is a reference to Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem. V'she'elo b'birchas Hashonim, this is what we say in the bracha of Borech Aleinu, we say, V'sein Tal U'Motor, and we're using the nusach that we have in the Rashi over here. The havdala b'chaynein hadoas, which we refer to as atachon atono. Rabbi Kiva Omer oimra bracha revius b'fnei atzma. Rabbi Akiva's opinion regarding havdala is that it's set as a separate bracha, a fourth bracha. In other words, after hakel hakadosh, one would then say a bracha, a fourth bracha of havdala, a separate bracha, not as part of the atachonin lodom das. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bahoda. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Havdalah is said in the Brach of Moedim, similar to what we do with regard to Al Hanisim. The Gemara, in the next few lines, you see a double underline, and on the side of our Gemara, we've noted Hesber Mikumam Shel Tosafois HaKvuois Betfila. The double underlines represent the beginning of the Hesber, the explanation of the positioning of these various additions that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Maskirin Gvuras Geshamim, my time, why is the Mashiv HaRuach mentioned in the Broch of Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead? Omer of Yosef, Mitoch Sheshkula Ketchias HaMesim, Lefikoch Kavua B'Tchias HaMesim. Since rainfall is considered like the arousal of the dead, the revival of the dead, it is placed in the bracha that deals with the resurrection of the dead. In a manner of speaking, the winter season, which is associated in Eretz Yisrael with rainfall, generally speaking, when one is learning the Shas, and especially the Mishnayos, the focus is Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, the seasons are very well defined. The winter season is associated with rain, we of course hope, and the summer season with lack of rain. So during the winter season, there is basically no visible growth, and it's the time during the rainfall, which results in what was otherwise as fields full of, we'll say, non-visible life, the rain bringing it back to life. So that's and it's only because this phenomenon happens every season that we become used to it, and hence we don't view it as a miracle. We don't view it as something extraordinary. We feel it as part of nature, but that's only because of the regularity with which it happens. On the other hand, with regard to the resurrection of the dead, so on a national level, we have not on a human level, the humanity level, we haven't experienced that yet. There are incidents of people with near-death experiences that you can say that they were reported as clinically dead and came back, but as far as a general natural phenomenon, we haven't witnessed that, so it's viewed as something extraordinary. It could be that if every season the dead would rise from their graves, it would not be something extraordinary. So on an objective level, the rain is very much similar to the revival of the dead, as we explained. So that is its reasonable location. That's its expected location. Continuing in the Gemara, Ushayla Birchas Hashana Maitaima, what is the request for rain doing in that bracha? Omar Rav Yosef Mitoshi Parnosa, since rain represents agricultural growth, which represents income for people. Therefore, it is in the bracha that deals with income and profit. The bracha of Borech, we call it Birkas Hashanim, Borech Oleinu, where we request the Almighty to pray to bless the year and all of its growth. Havdalah b'chayin ha'das, my time. Why is Havdalah positioned in that bracha? So to this we have two opinions. Number one, Amar of Yosef, mitoch shi chochma kavua b'birchas chochma. Since Havdalah represents an element of chochma, in other words, the ability to distinguish, the ability to distinguish between the holy and the profane, or the mundane, between the between that which is Tomei and that which is Tohor. That is an act or demonstration of wisdom or awareness, knowledge. So it belongs in the bracha in which we request knowledge and wisdom. In fact, in other Gemaras, you see in Maseches Chagiga, in trying to establish what a shoita is, what someone who is a fool or lacking knowledge, there you find one who does not have the ability to make a distinction, in that case, a distinction between seasons. So the ability to distinguish is a demonstration of wisdom. Rabbonan Amri mitoch shehu choyl lefikoch kavua bebrichas choyl. Since it's a Haftalah represents the beginning of the new week, the chol, which is in this case the new week, the weekday, as opposed to Shabbos, a holy day. So it's positioned in the first of the brachos that are recited during the weekdays. The entire middle section of Shemoneh Esrei, the 12 middle brachos, are recited only on weekdays. So the Havdalah is positioned appropriately at the beginning of the weekday brachos. Omar Rabbi Ami. Here you'll notice a couple triangles as you go down the page, and on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we've noted the expression Godol with three dots. There are different things that are portrayed as great. Godol, whatever is great. Shenosan Bein Shnei Oisius, or Shemos Hashem. The Gemara will say that there are a number of things that are considered great because that phenomenon is found in the scriptures between two names of Hashem. So that something's sandwiched between the names of the Almighty shows that that item is very significant. Omar Rabbi Ami, Gedola Dea Shenitno Betchilas Birkas Brocha Shel Chol. This is actually the first thing. We didn't mention this in our introduction, but he feels that Dea is wisdom is very great in that it's the first thing that you pray for. The very first thing in the Birchas Chol, after the opening three brachos of praise of the Almighty, the very first thing that we request is knowledge, is wisdom. And that, by the way, is quite reminiscent of Shlomo HaMelech, who was offered by the Almighty his wish, and he requested wisdom. The Omar Rabbi Ami, Gedola Dea Shinitno Bein Shtei Oisiois. Great is knowledge in that it is found between two references to Hashem's name. Shinemar, Kikel, Deois Hashem. And you'll notice with our markings, we've underlined the names of the Almighty, and in the middle, dashed underlined the word Deos, showing how it's sandwiched between two names of Hashem. V'chol mi she'ein bo Dea, osu l'rachem olov. And anyone who lacks knowledge, and of course we're not talking about people that are born with a mental deficiency, but rather people that are born with the proper mental acumen and yet do not exercise it. So they are people that are described as ein bo dea. They don't show that they have knowledge, or that the knowledge does not necessarily refer to memorizing the statistics of every national sport championship since 1923, but rather it's, as we saw before in the Rashi, an ability to distinguish between good and evil, for example, the ability to make distinctions. If a person doesn't exercise that, so it is forbidden to have compassion for him. Shenemar ki lo am binoisu al kein lo yirachamenu oseu. As the Pasuk indicates, that the nation that does not show knowledge, this kind of knowledge, therefore their maker does not have compassion for them. Omar Rabbi Elazar. And by the way, there's a very interesting expression that the Gemara just uses. Also l'rachem alav, it's forbidden to show mercy for them. And you see from here this a concept of that a person's positive attributes are to be directed to the proper source. A person wants to do chesed, so he has to know to whom to do chesed, to how to do chesed. It's not something that's arbitrary. Similarly here, mercy and compassion, one has to know how and when and to whom to direct the compassion. As here you see, it's forbidden to show compassion for someone who lacks Dea. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Godol Mikdosh, the holy temple is great. Shenosan bein shnei osios. You find it placed between two names of Hashem. Shenemar po'ato Hashem mikdosh Hashem. In the Shiras Hayam, what we say, the Oz Yashir, you find this pasuk, and the mikdosh is positioned between two names of Hashem. The Amar Belozer kol adam sheish bo dea kiilu nivne beis hamikdosh biyomav. A person who has dea is tantamount to having the beis hamikdosh built in his time. Dea nitno bein shtei osios, mikdosh not nitan bein shtei osios. Both of them have this in common, that they are found between shtei osios, which means between two names of Hashem. Maski Rav Acho Karchino. So Rav Acho Karchino asks, Elo me'ato, if this be the case, that which is between two names of Hashem is great, are you going to say, Gedoilo nekomo shenitno bein shtei osios, shenema kel nekomo is Hashem? That vengeance is a great thing, in that it too is found between two names of Hashem. Amale in b'milsam miha gedola hi. He answers that that vengeance is a great thing when it is necessary, and when, you know, vengeance in its time is a great thing. V'hainu d'omar ula shtei nekomos halalu lama. And it's based on this that Ula says the two nekomos. The pasuk says kel nekomos Hashem, kel nekomos Hofia. The two nekomos are, what are they referring to? Achas l'toivo, v'achas l'ro'o. L'toivo d'chtiv Hofia mehar poron. The Gemara in Bava Kama mentions that the idol worshipping nations of the world that rejected the acceptance of Torah, the result of that was that their money, that their possessions are considered hefker with regard to those who did accept the Torah, the Jewish people. The result of that is, for example, if a Jew's animal or ox, for the example given is an ox, damages the ox or the possessions of an idol worshipper, so the Jew is exempt from paying. And in the opposite, if the idol worshipper damages the Jewish property, so his animal will require the owner to pay full damages. That's the L'toivon. And L'ro, d'chtiv, kel nekomos Hashem, kel nekomos Sophia. The benefit that the Jews received would be the misfortune of the idol worshippers. There is another girsa that we just want to point out, and it's found in the Sefer Meloi HaRoyim, that in this posuk, in this piece of Gemara, that is, instead of the girsa of Shtei Nekomos Halalo, the girsa is Shtei Hofios Halalo. The word Hofia appears in Hofia Mehar Poron and Kel Nekomos Hofia. That being said, our purpose was to demonstrate the idea that Nekoma, in its time, when necessary, is a great matter. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Akiva Omer Oimro Brocha Ravias Bifnei Atzma. This is a reference to the Havdalah, is said as a separate Brocha. Amar Lei Rav Shamon Bar Abel Rav Yochanan Michti Anshe Knesset Agdoilo Tiknu Lohem Yisrael Brochos Utfilos Kedushos Vavdolos Nechsi Hechon Tikun. The Anshe Knesset Agdoilo, they formulated the text of all of these different brochos, blessings and prayers, different forms of sanctification. We have Kedusha and Havdolos. Why don't we see where they established it? In other words, the question here is why is there a machlokas concerning this matter? It's interesting to note that in the third perek, a very similar question came up regarding the Tevila of Ezra, which had to do with the topic of the Balkeri, the male who experienced an emission, and the Gemara was discussing the need for a mikveh, or the need for 9 kav of water poured over him, and there was a the issue was under controversy. And the Gemara asked, well, Ezra was misaking it. Why not just go check out what Ezra established? And the Tosfos over there in the third perek had asked, every time there is a controversy around different rules, we don't ask the question of let's go see how it was originally asked, or how it was originally instituted. So why, in the case of the Tvilas Ezra, and that immersion because of the male emission, why does the Gemara take the liberties of asking it? So Tosfos answered over there in the third perek, simply because the experience of a male emission is very common. It's an everyday affair, so there definitely would have been a tradition on it. And that's why in that particular issue or topic, the question of let's just go see how it was established originally and there'd be no need for controversy. So it was my thinking that along the same lines, here the Gemara is asking the same thing. Why have a controversy about something like Havdalah? After all, using the idea of Tosfos over there, the Havdalah is something that happens. We say it every week. You would think that there would be some type of continued tradition on it. Where is there room for any murkiness to arise that there should be a controversy around it? So hence the Gemara is asking the same kind of question, style question, as was asked over there. Simply because of the regularity of this particular phenomenon, there should have been an established tradition. There shouldn't be any room for doubt about it. So the Gemara explains where the doubt, in fact, arose, and hence we have the controversy, the three-way controversy concerning the positioning of Havdalah in the Shmona Esrei. The explanation follows. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan answers Rav Shamon's question, B'tchila kavua b'tfila. Initially, it was established, the Havdalah, when it was formulated, was established as something to be recited in the Shmona Esrei. A second stage, He'eshiru, when the Jewish people became wealthier, and they could afford the purchase of wine, kavua al hakos. It was then established to be recited not in the Shmona Esrei, but over a cup of wine. So now, at this point that it was removed from the Shmona Esrei and placed upon a cup of wine, in other words, the enactment of a Havdalah recitation was to be exercised over a cup of wine and not in the Shmona Esrei. So during this period, it became forgotten what the Shmona Esrei practice was. It was not a... It was this state of wealth that the Jewish people enjoyed lasted a long time, enough so that any old prayer traditions regarding the Havdalah would have been forgotten. When poverty set in once again, the wine was not readily available, so it was reinstituted as part of the Shmona Esrei. Vehem omru, hamavdil b'tfila tzorch shiavdil al hakos. And they said that one who says Havdalah in the Shmona Esrei, assuming that he then gets a cup of wine, he should say it on a cup of wine. Itmar nami, omar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, omar Rabbi Yochanan, anshignas agdoilo, tiknu lohem Yisrael brochos tfilas kedushos v'avdolos, b'tfila kavua b'tfila. Heshiru kavua la kois, chazu vehenu kavua bitfilo. Vehem omru, hamavdil bitfilo, tzorach shiavdil al hakois. Itmar nami, rabo v'rav Yosef, the Amri Travayu, hamavdil bitfilo, tzorach shiavdil al hakois. So here you have a statement of rabo with Rav Yosef, saying what we have said already a few times already, that one who is mavdil bitfilo must be mavdil alakos over a cup of wine. Omar Rabba umos vinon ashmaitin. This expression happens in numerous places in the Shas, where someone reports a halacha and they themselves that reported the halacha then raise a question on the tradition that they reported. And here he says umos vinon ashmaitin. Then we raise an objection on our teaching from this source. So this is from our Mishnah, that one who erred and did not mention Mashivo Ruach, let's just correct ourselves, not from our Mishnah, but it mentions the same things that our Mishnah had mentioned regarding things that are added, but in this case he forgot to mention the Mashivo Ruach, he forgot to say V'sein Talumotor, so the source says Machzirano, so he goes, he must repeat himself. Repeat the Shemona Esrei. Avdol b'chayin adoas. If he misses saying Avdol b'chayin adoas, ain machzir no so. Mitnei shiyochol loimro al hakois, because he has the option of saying it over a cup of wine. Now, what does this imply? If he, let us say, he had said it in the Shemona Esrei, then he would not say it over the cup of wine. The cup of wine is presented here only as a backup. But yet, the way the tradition was reported by Rabbah and Rav Yosef, it said one who is mavdil b'tfilah has to make the bracha of Havdalah over a cup of wine. So the Gemara answers, lo tema, don't say in the source that we just read, that mitnei sheyachol lo'im alakos, because he has the option of saying it, the ability to say it over a cup of wine, Elo'emo mitnesha omralikos, because he is going to say it over the cup of wine, indicating that the cup of wine is an imperative for one who already said it in Shmoneh Esrei. It manamiyom Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes. Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes tells us, there'll be, in the next couple lines, different names will be presented. So just remember that Binyamin Bar Yefes is moderating this incident. He tells us that Shaul Reb Yosias Reb Yochanan Bet Sidon, Sidon is the name of a place, Reb Yosi had asked Reb Yochanan in Sidon, the Amri Law, another version of the names of the questioner was Rabbi Shimon Ben Yaakov de Minsur es Reb Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi, was asked a question. Vano Shamis, and I heard the question, says Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes. What was the question? Hamavdil b'tfilo tzor shi'avdil alakoy so'iloi. One who said Havdola in tfilo, does he have to say it again over a cup of wine? V'omar lei, and Rabbi Yochanan answered, tzorich shi'avdil al hakois. He has to repeat the Havdola over a cup of wine after having already said it in the Shmona Esrei. Ibayalo, Hamavdil alakois mashi avdil b'tfilo. What about if we flip things around? He said Havdol over a cup of wine before he davened, before he said Shmona Esrei. So now, does he have to, when he says Arvis, he says Mairiv of Shmoytsoi Shabbos, does he say Havdola in the Atochonein? After all, he said Havdola already over the cup of wine. Omer of Nabi Yitzchok Kal V'chomer mitfila. Rav Nabi Yitzchok says we can answer your question through a Kal V'chomer from the case of Shmoyne Esrei. Umat tfila di'ikr takantahi. Mind you, tfila represented the ikr, the original format or framework in which to say the Havdola. And yet, Amri Hamavdil b'tfilot tzor shi'avdil alakos, and yet we said that one who says it in the original main framework, he nevertheless has to say it again over a cup of wine. Hamavdil alakos delavikut takantahi, one who recites the Havdola over a cup of wine, not having said it over in tefillah, the cup of wine representing a subsidiary practice, not the main original practice of Havdalah recitation. So, lo kol shekein, he all the more so, he would have to say it in his tefillah. Tani Rav Acha Aricha Kamei D'Rav Chinuna. So Rav Acha Aricha teaches the following source, Hamavdil b'tefillah meshubach yoser mimishi avdil alakois. One who says Havdalah in the Shmoneh Esrei is considered more praiseworthy than one who said it over a cup of wine. V'mhivdil b'zu u'b'zu yonuchu lo brochos arosho. And if he said Havdalah in both, so blessings shall be placed on his head. That is the source as it is. The Gemara, though, raises a question, and it spends the next four lines on the question. Hence, we used a long question marking the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, ha gufa kashya. We said the encircled kuf, in addition to the fact there's a descending vertical dashed line, this shows the length of the question is four lines, and here the Gemara asks, ha gufa kashya. This source presents a problem, an inherent problem. Amris, you said Hamavdol b'tfila mishubuch yesu mimishi yavdil ala kois. One who says Havdalah in the context of Shmon Esrei is more praiseworthy than one who does it over a cup of wine. Alma tfila l'chudo sagi. This would imply that a Havdalah recitation as part of the Shmon Esrei is sufficient, is enough. There is no need for a Havdalah recitation over a cup of wine. So let's emphasize that. From the opening of this source, no need for Havdalah over wine, of course, assuming you said it in Shmon Esrei. V'hadar Tani, and then the source teaches, Im Hivdil Bezu Bezu Yonuchu Lo Brochos HaRosho. If he does Havdalah, he recites Havdalah in both, meaning in the Shmon Esrei as well as over a cup of wine, he deserves to be blessed. However, what's the problem here? Once he has fulfilled his obligations with one, namely with the tefillah, eftar, he has become exempt. He reaches a point of exemption. You said it already. You said it in Shmon Esrei, no more. You don't have to say it anymore. You're potter. The continued recitation of it over a cup of wine would represent an unnecessary bracha, because you already fulfilled your obligation through the Shmon Esrei recitation. Here's a list of names in different versions, but Rav, some say Reish Lakish. Another version is Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish together. They say, "Kol mavorech bracha she'enot zricha over mishum lo sisa." He who makes a bracha that's unnecessary is in violation of mentioning God's name in vain. So how do we resolve this source, the beginning of which says Havdalah and Tefillah is enough? The second part of the source says if you do both, that's great. But if you accept the beginning of the source to say that doing both is great is simply not true. Doing both results in the profaning of God's name. Elo Emo Hachi. Rather, restate things as follows. Im Hivdil Bezu Velo Hivdil Bezu. If he made a brocha in one and not in the other, Yonuchu Lo Brochos Arosho. He deserves to be blessed because he said brocha in one and not in the other. Bo minei Rav Chisto Merav Sheshes. To bezu ubezu mahu. Exactly what the circumstances of this are is actually the subject of a machlokes rishonim. There's a commentary controversy around how to explain this particular line. So without getting into the controversy itself, suffice it to say that you're dealing with a person that did not recite the Havdalah as part of the Shmon Esrei, nor over a cup of wine. What should he do right now? Omar le, ta bezu bezu choyzer l'rosh. If he missed the Havdalah in both, he goes back to the beginning, which means he goes back to Shmon Esrei with a Havdalah recitation and a recitation over a cup of wine. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Omar le Ravina l'Rava Hilchisa Mai. The person who made Havdalah in Tefillah, does he have to make a Havdalah again over a cup of wine or not? Omar le Ki Kiddush. So he answers that, Rava answers, you can pattern the Havdalah practice after that of Kiddush. Ma Kiddush Afagav the Mekadish Mitzlois Mekadish HaKosa. Just like by Kiddush, we know that we recite the Kiddush text as part of the Shmon Esrei of Friday night. And nevertheless, after the Shmon Esrei davening, one says it over a cup of wine. Af havdola nami, af agavde, mavde mitzloisa. So too with regard to havdola, even though he said it as part of the tzlos, as part of the Shmon Esrei, mavdil akos, he makes it again, he recites it again over a cup of wine. Rabbi Lezer Omer Bahoida, we saw this opinion, that of Rabbi Lezer, that havdola is recited in the modim bracha. Rabbi Zera, having rochiv chamra, Rabbi Zera was riding a donkey, having koshakiv ozer Rabbi Chia bar oven basrei, and Rabbi Chia was following him. Omar le, vadai deamrisu mishmeder Rabbi Yochanan, halocha k'Rabbi Lezer, that which you say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that halocha is like Rabbi Lezer, namely to say havdol in hoida, that is biyom tov shechalios achar haShabbos, that is fulfilled when you don't say atochoinen havdol, when you have Yom Tov falling out, a holiday falling out on Saturday night, so you go from Shabbos into Yom Tov, and there is no weekday Shmona Esrei recited, and in such a case, so that is when, and he's asking, is it so that is when we say that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer, that it's said in Hoidah? So the Gemara, in reacting to this particular observation, we'll say, of Rav Chia, is the halacha michlal de pligi, by saying the halacha, that term halacha, which we dashed underline just the line before, indicates a resolution or a conclusion of a matter that was subject to controversy. So that when you rule like someone, it indicates you're ruling like someone over someone else. So are you saying then that this issue is a matter of controversy? Halacha michlal de pligi? Does someone argue with this? So the Gemara says back, v'lo pligi. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, the next several lines of Gemara are, some might say, are complicated in terms of the structure. What we've tried to do with our markings is from this line of halacha michlal de pligi, is essentially a question. From here down, you'll see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, the kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, that this section of Gemara essentially represents one question. The question is, this report in the name of Rabbi Yochanan contain the word halacha, indicating that this ruling to follow that the ruling of Rabbi Lezer on Yom Tov Shechal Yosachar Shabbos is that the Havdalah is said in Moedim is something that not everyone would agree with. So is that so? So the Gemara asks, V'lo pligi, V'lo pligi Rabbonan. You'll notice with our triangle, we also have a Hesper, an explanation in the margin. The Nose, the topic here is Psak Halacha Lomar Avdola Bohido Keshitas Rabbi Elazar. And the Mivne, the structure is, the triangles featured, She'elois Levarer Im Yesh Chokim Al Rabbi Elazar. We're going to be analyzing, are there those that argue with Rabbi Elazar? U'kvishi Hisber Rabbi Chia Bar Ovin B'Yom Tov Achar HaShabbos. Regarding that specific case of Saturday night starts a holiday, and the Havdalah is to be recited in Moedim. Is that controversial? So the Gemara asks, well, of course it's controversial. It's controversial. V'hapligi Rabbonan. That's where the first triangle appears. The Rabbonan, we know that they said it to say Havdalah in they don't say in Hoidah, they say it in Atachonin Lodom Das. So the Gemara says, well, Eimar de Pligi Rabbonim B'Shayim HaSashonah, that's during a standard Saturday night where there's no holiday that follows. But Yom Tov Shechal Achar HaShabbos Mi Pligi. But in a Yom Tov that starts on a Saturday night, who says that the Rabbonim would disagree with Rebbe Lazar? And being that they wouldn't disagree, so why did you report the this using the word halacha before? Halacha is a word implying that there is controversy. Where's the controversy? The Gemara asks, but v'hapolig Rabbi Akiva? We know that Rabbi Akiva represents a dissenting opinion. So that would legitimize the use of the word halacha. The Gemara says no. Atu kol hashana kula mi avdinon Rabbi Akiva the hashda neku v'navid kavasei. Tell me, since the rest of the year, do we follow Rabbi Akiva? We don't follow Rabbi Akiva. If we were to follow Rabbi Akiva, so then that would justify the need for saying halacha, like Rabbi Elazar, to exclude something that we ordinarily would have followed. But we don't ordinarily follow him anyway, so that there's no need for using the word halacha to preclude an opinion that we don't follow anyway. And that's the essence of the question here. The Gemara continues, and we have a bracketed section simply to show that the main point has been raised. This is now just an elaboration on that point. Kol hashana kula my time lo avdino k'Rabbi Akiva. The rest of the year, why is it that we don't follow Rabbi Akiva, who said, say it as a separate bracha? Why not? Why don't we follow him? Well, because the tamni sorry tikkun chasri lo tikkun. During the standard weekday, 18 brachas were established, not 19. And Rabbi Kiva's method would create a situation of a 19th bracha being recited. Well, Hochanami, so too, when you're dealing with Yom Tov, Shev Tikkun, Tamni Lo Tikkun, they establish 7 brachas as part of a Yom Tov Shmon Esrei, and not 8. And following Rabbi Akiva, there would have been a necessity of having an 8th bracha, an additional bracha, making a total of 8. And that does not conform to the formulation of Shmona Esreis. At this point, then, we have to repeat the question. Why was the word halacha used above when reporting the case of Yom Tov after Shabbos? The Havdalah is to be recited in Hoidah. That doesn't seem to be something that was ever part of a controversy. Omar Lei, Lav Halacha Itmar, Elo Matin Itmar. So he answers, it's likely Rabbi Zera then is answering Rabbi Chia, and says the word Halacha did not appear, but rather the word Matin appeared. As we said before, the word halacha implied a controversy over the matter. So we're going to retract that word and say matin. Matin is an expression which would mean it appears that we go like. There's actually Rashi explains the word matin in a different context, but for our purposes, we're retracting halacha so that we avoid the issue of something that sounded controversial. Itmar, Rabbi Yitzchok bar Avdimi Omar Mishum Rabbeinu halacha v'amri lo matin. Regarding this topic, someone said that we say halacha. Halacha here means that we would publicize it in a we would say this as a public ruling. The word, use of the word matin, Rashi says, we wouldn't rule it in a public fashion, but we would tell someone on a private level, do like Rabbi Eliezer in the case of Yom Tov Shechal Lios Be'echod B'Shabbos. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Omar Nir'in. The word Nir'in, Rashi explains, we wouldn't even offer it as a ruling, but if someone said, I did like him, in other words, I said the Abdullah in the Moedim, we would let it go. We would say, you don't have to say it again. Omar Rabbi Zera, Nekoit de Rabbi Chia bar Abba Biyodach, you should accept Rabbi Chia bar Abba's approach that said, near in, the Dayek v'gomar shmeitzim mipume demora shapir, kirachbo de pomadisa. Because Reb Chia bar Abba was very careful in his learning. In the Gemara says elsewhere that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba used to review his learning in front of Rabbi Yochanan every 30 days. So he was very careful in his learning, and that if he said near in, so it's very likely that that's the tradition he received, and not one of the other expressions. Now, Rachba de Pobedisa, Rachba from the city of Pobedisa, is cited as the example par excellence of someone who was very careful in reporting traditions the way they heard it, without veering off in any detail. And here, the Gemara cites the basis for that regarding Rachba. The Omer Rachba, Omer of Yehuda, Har Habayis Stov Kofel Hoya, Voya Stov Lifnim Mistov. The word Stov also appears in Mishnayis using the term Itztaba. Itztaba is a type of platform, something on which people could sit. We call them stools or platforms. And the Har Habayis Temple Mount was described as having a double row of stools that surrounded its inner perimeter. And the precision of Rachba is that Rachba heard from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, the word stov, as opposed to the word that appears in the Mishnah, itztaba, even though they're one and the same. But Rachba said over his teaching using the word he heard from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, and not the word, or possibly the more common expression, but the word as found in the Mishnah. So Rachba is the paradigm of accuracy in preserving traditions. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was similar in that respect. Therefore, his presentation of this topic using the term Nirin is most likely what had happened. And Nirin, as we saw before, when we mentioned from Rashi, it's a situation where we wouldn't publicly rule to follow Rebbe Lozer. We wouldn't tell you even privately to follow Rebbe Lozer. But if someone said, I said my Shmon Esrei Motzoi Shabbos, which when Yom Tov began, and I said Havdalah in the Hoidah, so we'll say, okay, what you did, you did. Omar Rav Yosef. Here we have a piece of Gemara that we're calling a long point, and it goes till the Mishnah. Ano Rav Yosef, ano lo hayodana v'lo hayodana. I am not familiar with, in other words, I wouldn't adopt this way or that way. We saw all these different approaches to the Rebbe Lozer Havdalah matter. So he says, I don't know this way and I don't know that way. Elo midarav u'shmuel yodano. I know that which Rav and Shmuel said. The Tokinu lon marginisa b'bova. They established a beautiful marginisa. It's generally a precious stone or it's a pearl, but it means here a beautiful text. And you will see, for many of you, this may even be familiar. This text is Havdalah on Motzoi Shabbos, during which a Yom Tov begins, and the Havdalah is in the middle of the Shmon Esrei as opposed to in the Moedim. It's found at the very beginning of the middle section of the fourth brach of the Shmon Esrei. And the text is Vatodienu Hashem Elokeinu Es Mishpatei Tzidkecha Islandeinu Lasos Chukei Ritzonecha, where we request of Hashem to help enable us to learn his laws, and v'tanfienu zemane sosan v'chagi nedava v'torishenu k'tusha shabbos v'odmoe v'chagigos aregel, and enable us to inherit times of happiness and times of festivity and holiness of Shabbos and honor to holidays. V'bein k'tusha shabbos k'tusha yom tov v'dalta, you make a distinction between the sanctity of Shabbos versus the sanctity of Yom Tov. Es Yom HaShvi'i Misheshes Yomei HaMaaseh Kidashta, and Saturday, Shabbos, the seventh day, is set apart from the rest of the other 6 days. Hivdalta v'kidashta es amcho Yisrael b'kdushasecha, and likewise the nation of Israel is separated and sanctified from the rest of the nations. And then v'titen lanu v'chulei, that represents the continuation of the standard holiday Shmoneh Esrei text. So the closing of this particular section of Havdalah, of Gemara concerning Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, where Yom Tov begins, has a practice that is not at all like Rebbe Elazar in so far as Havdalah is part of the Moedim, but rather as part or the opening of the fourth and middle bracha of the Shmoneh Esrei. Once again, this whole section of Gemara was focused on Saturday night, which also ushers in a holiday. The Mishnah. Ha'oimer, one who says as part of his tefillah, as part of his Shmoneh Esrei, Al kan sipor yagiu rachamecha. Or V'al tov yizocher shemecha. Or Moidim Moidim Meshaskin Oisoi. We silence him. Let's glance at Rashi. Oimer b'tfilosoi al kan sipor yagiu rachamecha. Anoshim shayimarim atzmom ke miskavnim lahamik b'loshin tachanunim. People who gave an appearance that they're going to extend themselves in their prayers and seeking of grace and mercy, the Omrim, and they say like this, and the feeling was that they would say, Rachum v'chanun ato, you are all you merciful, v'al kan sipur yagiu rachamecha, and regarding the nests of birds, your mercy reached. Shamati l'shalech esoim is part of the Torah. We know that you instructed to send away the mother before taking the offspring to yourself. So, if you see someone that's about to say that, so the Mishnah says Mishaskin oisai, or he says Al hatoiv sh'ata oise lanu yizocher shemecha. Let the name of the Almighty be proclaimed over the good that you do for us. And the last example of the Mishnah was someone who repeats Moidim. We silence each one of these cases. The Gemara explains. Vishlamo Moidim Moidim Mishaskin Eso Mishum Demechsi Kishtei Rishios. That's understandable that if someone's going to say Moidim twice, we would silence him because he creates a blasphemous impression of as if there are two deities. I thank this one and thank that one. The Al Toiv Yizocher Shemecha Gam Mashma. This is also a problematic phrase. One who would say, "Let us proclaim the name of the Almighty over the good." So it's Mashma Al Hatoiva V'Loy Al Ra, that we bless the Almighty only when good befalls us, and not when the opposite takes place. And what's the problem? Utnan, because we have a Mishnah that says Chayav Adam Levorach Al Ra Kesheim Shem Levorach Al Tova, that a person has to bless the Almighty over the negative as he blesses him over the positive. And we're familiar with this in the case of a death, for example, Loi Olenu, where we bless the name of the Almighty as the Dayan Ha'emes, as the judge who judges in truthfulness. Ela. So far we explained two of the three phrases of the Mishnah are reasonable. The ruling of the Mishnah, that is, concerning two of the three phrases to silence him, is a reasonable ruling. What is problematic in saying that your mercy reaches the birds of the nest? Pligi bo tre amoroi b'marova. Rabbi Yossi bar Ovin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvira. There's a machlokes between these two amoroyim in Eretz Yisrael as to what the problem is. Chad omar mipnei shematu kinu b'maisa breishis. You're creating a sense of jealousy amongst the different creatures of the world because you're essentially saying that God's mercy extends to birds, but not to other creatures, because you don't find this particular halach of sending away a mother before taking the offspring, other than in the case of the bird. So that it's not right to create this sense of jealousy or differentiation between creatures that the Almighty created. The word midosav means mitzvosav. You are making the commandments of Hashem, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rachamim, v'einon elo gzeros, by saying that Shiluach HaKein is a manifestation of mercy, is not right. The mitzvah, the requirement of sending away the mother, is a ruling from the Almighty, and we fulfill His rulings as servants follow the instructions of a master, regardless of what type of sense or explanation may lie behind the different rulings. Therefore, to attach the concept of mercy with the fulfillment of that mitzvah is what we would call out of bounds. We have a new marking that appears, the diamonds, and there are two of them. Under our Mivneh heading, we indicate Shnei Maisim im Shluchei Tzibur She'amru Dvarim Lo Ruyim. We have two incidents where the Chazan, or the Shliach Tzibur, he says things that are not fit to be said. The Gemara. Ahu de Nochis Kameh de Rabba. Nochis Kameh is an expression of someone who went to lead in the davening. The Omar, and he says, and he said as follows: Ato chasto kan tzipor ato chus rachim olenu. You had compassion over the nest with birds. Have compassion over us, Omar Rabba. Rabba, hearing this text, he says, Kamo yoda hait tzurbum rabbonin lutzumari. How wonderful this young scholar knows how to appease the Almighty, the Master. In other words, from Rabbo's comment, it would sound like that was a positive thing to say. Abai says to Rabbo, how can you compliment him? But regarding that very point, the Mishnah says we silence him. So Rabbo says, you know, you're right. But the Rabbo nami l'chadude labayehu the boy. Rabba was simply attempting to see if Abaye was sharp, was on his toes. Of course, Rabba did not really compliment him, or he didn't intend to compliment him. He said it just to see if Abaye was on his toes, was sharp. And, in fact, Abaye was sharp. Hahu denochis kameh de Rabbi Chanina. Now, the marking, the house form around Rabbi Chanina is simply to highlight his name, which is done because in a number of lines from now another comment of his is made. And many times in the Shas, things that are seemingly unrelated are put together because it's the same name, and that's one of the aspects of the markings, is to highlight that phenomenon. So here's an incident, another incident with a Shliach Tzibur that davened in the presence of Rabbi Chanina. Hahu denochis kameh de Rabbi Chanina Omar, and the gentleman started to say a long list of praiseworthy expressions concerning the Almighty. Hokel hagodol hagibor v'hanoiro v'ho adir v'azuz v'yorui v'chozok v'amitz v'havadai v'anichbod. Without translating each one of the words, suffice it to say that each one is an additional, a separate form of praise of the Almighty. And he went on with this string of compliments, of praises. Himtin lo ad shesiyim. Rabbi Chanina just waited for him to finish. Kesiyim, when he finished, when this Shliach Tzibur finished his prayer, Omar le, Rabbi Chanina asks him, probably with a tone of cynicism, or of sarcasm, Siyamtinu lekulu shvachi demoroch? Did you finish all the praises that could be said over concerning the Almighty? Lama li kulehai, why did you go on with so many terms of praise? Anan hani tlas amrinon, the three words that we say as part of our standard text, and they are hagodol, hagibor, vanor, those three words, the godol, gibor, anor, those three. E lav the amrinu Moshe Rabbeinu Boraisa, if Moshe Rabbeinu had not used those words in the Torah, this is in Dvorim Perek Yud. The Osu Anshei Knesset Gdola v'Tachdimu B'Tfila, and the men of the great assembly, the Anshei Knesset Gdola who lived during the second Beis HaMikdash era, came and established those words in the Shmon Esrei. Lo Havinon Yecholin L'meimar Lahu. We would not have been able to say even just those three words. The Amris Kulei Haiva Atlas, and you go on to say so many other words. The whole concept of saying praise concerning the Almighty, who is beyond human comprehension. A moshal to what we're describing as a king who had thousands and thousands of pieces of gold, din rezov, gold coins, gold representing a very expensive, very precious metal. And they said, well, our king's got a lot of silver. By saying something that you think is praiseworthy, but missing the mark or hitting lower than the goal, is actually something that is we could say it's insulting or it's negative, it's lacking, it's a gnai. Gnai meaning something that's the opposite of praise. It's shaming him. So, too, you by saying so many words of compliment concerning the Almighty, who's beyond comprehension, is diminishing his greatness. V'oma Rabbi Chanina, Hakol b'dei Shemayim chus mir Shemayim, everything is in the hands of heaven except for a person's decision to fear the Almighty. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'ato Yisrael ma'ashem elokecho shel me'imcho ki'im lira. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, what is the Almighty asking of you except for fear of Him, fear and awe of Him? So that's all the Kosher was asking of us. Everything else He takes care of. The Gemara Nida, and Rashi paraphrases that Gemara here, says that when a child is about to be born, it's determined, all his physical characteristics are determined, his mental capacity is determined, all of those things are determined. The only thing that's not determined is whether he'll be a tzaddik versus a rasha. That's not something that Shamayim determines. And the Gemara asks on this pasuk that was just quoted, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, all that HaKadosh Baruch has is just Yirat Shamayim. That phraseology creates the impression that Yirat Shamayim is a small thing. All he's asking from you is Yirat Shamayim. What's the big deal, right? So the Gemara asks, Otu Yirat Shamayim Milsa Zitrusahi? Is Yirat Shamayim some type of like minor, small thing? The Almighty has only one thing in His storehouses, and that is a storehouse of Yirat Shamayim, of God-fearingness, indicating that's the only thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu values, that's precious. Shinemar Yirat Hashem Hi Oitzah Roi. The Yiras Hashem is His treasure. So if this is the Almighty's treasure, how could Moshe Rabbeinu speak to it in such a, we'll say, an offhanded fashion, in such a belittling or minority fashion? So the Gemara answers in Legabi Moshe Milsas Rusi, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a small matter. And the Gemara offers an analogy. The Amar B'chanina, Moshe L'Odom, Shemavashman Kli Godol V'yeshlo, it's like asking of a person for a large vessel, and he happens to have a storehouse of large vessels. So what's one large vessel to him? It's like a small vessel. Katan v'ainlo, if you ask of a person a small vessel, you ask him for a plastic disposable cup, and he doesn't have any. So doime olav kikli gadol, it would appear to him to be a big thing. So Moshe Rabbeinu, that had vast amounts of Yiras Shamayim, for him Yiras Shamayim was a small matter. But for those other than Moshe Rabbeinu, where achieving Yiras Shamayim is a major lifelong activity, lifelong pursuit, and eventual goal, that Yirat Shemayim in effect is a very big thing. Moedim, Moedim Mishaskin, so one of the examples that we silence a person is someone who repeats Moedim. Omer Bizera, Kol Omer Shma, Shma, Kaomer Moedim, Moedim Domi. And that would mean we silence someone who says Shma, Shma. Meisvei, we have a source that represents a problem. A problem for Rabbi Zera. Hakuriya Shma, the Koifla, Areza Megune. The word Koifla has to do with repeating something. Megune hu dahave shtuki lo mishaskinanle. All that the source says is that it's considered negative, but it doesn't say we silence him. Loi kashya. Hodam a milsa milsa vitani la. Vihodam a psuka psuka vitani la. Now, as far there's a pronoun in this Gemara, and the pronoun is ha. So there happens to be a machlokes rishonim that when Mirz Hashem we will have our Tosfos shir, we will see this machlokes. But for our current Daf Yomi shir, we're going to use the Rashi's pshat. When the Gemara says lo kasha, there is no contradiction here, or there's no question here on Rabbi Zera. Ha, the case where we say it's megune, like in this Tanaic source, where he says each word twice. That's called megune. Rashi says milsa milsa v'tani lo kol teva v'teva chayz v'shen megune havi. However, shtuki lo mishaskinu le'shein zed doim le'mekabel of shtei machias le'misloitzeitz. Looks, this fellow looks like a joker, but doesn't look like a blasphemer. Whereas we continue in the Gemara, v'ha, when do we say we silence him mishaskinu so? Dama psuka psuka v'tani lo. Where he says the entire pasuk twice, where he says the Shema twice. Here Rashi says if you say the whole pasuk and repeat it, it looks like you're accepting upon yourself the rule of two Rishiyas. It's a some type of duality in the deity, and that's unacceptable. And therefore, Mishaskino so. Omar le Rav Papala by Vidilma Mikolo Kiven Daiti Lubsov Kiven Daiti. Maybe the reason the person is saying the Shema, the thing twice, is because he didn't have Kavona the first time, he didn't have proper intent or concentration, and therefore we shouldn't silence him. He's improving or rectifying the situation by repeating it. Omar le, so Abaye says to Rav Papa, he says at the top of Lamed Dalid, Chavuse klape shmaya miika. What are you? You say shma like you're talking to your friend. Ilo kivein daite mikor. If a person doesn't have proper intent at the outset, mochinun le b'marzafto denapcha ademachaven daite. We would beat him with a blacksmith's hammer until he has proper kavona. The Rashi at the top explains chavuse klape shmaya minik shenoyg odom lechaveri ina geitzel hamokaim is one. To conduct himself by the Almighty like he conducts himself with his friend, v'lo yizor b'tfilas, and is not careful. Mochinon le, Rashi continues, literally we beat him with the blacksmith's hammer, but klomar melamden oisu shechavinu makina so im yargil b'kach. We train him to have kavona, and we pressure a person into having right kavona. And therefore, that's not reasonable. It's not reasonable to say that the person's repetition is because he didn't have kavana. People are trained in having kavana before they say the shema in the first place. And therefore, the only reasonable conclusion is that if someone is saying it twice, it's because he's gone off the track and he's accepted some type of duality in deity, and that's why. We will silence him. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.